Well, who's been enjoying the first few weeks of Ephesians? We've been going through the book of Ephesians. We haven't got very far. We're still in the first chapter, and that'll continue for the next few weeks before we move into chapter 2, 3, and I think there's a chapter, right up to chapter 6, of course. Anyway, so I know you're all watching them, so I just thought I'd give you a moment. And thanks, guys. Excellent. You know, happy 21st, Jared. We are to be, this is actually, before we get started, why don't I read to you the verses I want to talk about this morning, and then I'll give you the title of my message this morning. Who's glad they came to church today? Who's glad that God's in their life? Who's glad they do not have to fear about anything? Some of you are not sure. We all face trials and stuff, but it's okay. As long as you keep with Jesus. As long as you keep going in Him. So that's our whole theme for this year. And Ephesians 1. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, verse 11 to 16. Furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For He chose us from the beginning, and all things happen just as He decided long ago. God's purpose was that we who were the first to trust in Christ should praise our glorious God. And now you also have heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us everything He promised and that He has purchased us to be His own people. This is just one more reason for us to praise our glorious God. Who's glad to have a family? Oh, you're not, you know, all right, we'll get there a little eventually this morning. I know it's a long weekend, you're all half asleep. Verse 15, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for Christians everywhere, I have never stopped thanking God for you. Look at your neighbour and go, I never stopped thanking God for you. See, this is the message that Paul's communicating to the church. We thank God for one another. We've all our faults. You know, who knows that the person next to you's got some faults? Who's too scared to put up their hand? I have never stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly. Wow. You have got some water. Thank you. So I want to talk this morning. Let's put up the title of my message this morning. We are to be His agents of transformation. We are to be His agents of transformation. So, we're talking about this book in Ephesians, which is about us, about the church. And most of the first chapter is about how to be a great Christian, what it is to be a Christian. And God chose you. Some of you may not be sure of that right now, but it's okay. You're welcome to take as long as it takes to know that God chose you. You know, Paul always thought of himself as chosen. Paul is the person who wrote the book of Ephesians from prison. He said, in fact, John's gospel says this, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." You are redeemed and forgiven. At Calvary, sin stood condemned once and for all. After Calvary, no one could possibly imagine that sin does not matter to God. Love and sacrifice go together. It's the Christ's call on our lives. He has chosen you and it's the mystery of his will, which Andrew spoke so eloquently last Sunday, both morning and evening. You know, God has a plan for our life. And so I want to talk in Ephesians 1:10 to give the concept of this morning, because Ephesians 1:10 is actually a verse that is for the whole of the book of Ephesians. And since it comes into my session this morning, let me read to you from the New King James Version. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, all that means is at the right time, he, God, might gather together in one his people from all ages, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. So this thought is the whole thought of the epistle. The ultimate goal of the cosmic process is to unite all things in Christ. It's in Christ we find out who we are and what we are living for. Redemption meets us where we are and delivers us to what at the deepest core of our being that we need and want: a family. We have ownership and protection in him, in his family. There are no misfits in him. I will never forget one day sitting down with the pastors of C3 in Liberia. Liberia is a nation on the northwest of Africa, second poorest nation in the world currently. And it's been that way for a long time, unfortunately, because of civil war and a number of things that happened. We have now four churches in that area. And I remember sitting down with the pastors one day, just with the pastors. And it was just Shane Elliott and myself, and we were chatting about C3, the church that we belong to. And Pastor Florence Colley asked a great question. Is it possible to see where all the C3 churches are around our globe? Now, you've got to get the context of this. At that particular time, the closest C3 church was around 9 hours' flight away. There's now one in Ghana, which is still a couple of hours away by aeroplane. And I said, yes, it is. Shane, you can do that, can't you? And there on the global website, we were able to look at all these pegs of all the churches, now currently 425 churches, all the family of God, our tribe, all together, all belonging together. And then someone spoke up and said, are we on that map? Good question. And so Shane moved his device, and there in the northwest tip of Africa, there was three solitary pegs, and you should have heard them. They were like applauding, going crazy. They were, we belong to his family. They were so excited that they actually, as far as remote as they are and as difficult it is to get to, that they belong. See, we belong in him. No matter our color, no matter the country of origin, no matter our denomination, in the end, through believing in him, we come together in Jesus. And so I want to give you my first point this morning, the ultimate transformer. That is a picture, actually, of Optimus Prime from the movie The Transformers. So who knows of this movie? Who's too old? Most of you would have at least seen this, I'm sure. So let me explain it this way, because I want to get you the message of the Bible in a modern sense. A long time ago, far away on the planet of Cybertron, in the heavenly realms, a war is being waged between the noble Autobots, led by the wise Optimus Prime, otherwise known by his human name as Jesus. And the devious Decepticons, commanded by the dreaded Megatron, otherwise known as Satan, for total control of the universe. There is a war for our soul. And Paul is declaring this war, that, and he is saying, in Christ you will overcome. Will you belong to him? Will you be everything that he has called you to be? Will you put off those things and that fear and those areas in your life that take away from being his heir in the kingdom of God? Can I talk about this with you today? All right. In the Message Bible in Ephesians 1:13, it's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation, found yourselves home free. Signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not die for us to go through the motions of religion. He came to set you and I free. It is because of what he has done for us that we decide to live in that freedom. Is there a way to get the PowerPoint off there? Still got the easy ways to give. I want to tell you this morning about a story about a lady who is now 43 years old. Her name is Dina. And in respect to this passage of Scripture, she has a surprising testimony. And what is surprising about Dina's story is that she has been brought up in church. And Dina said she had heard the gospel countless times growing up, and knew how to act like a Christian, but she admits that she was not truly a believer in Jesus, only recently receiving Christ. Her dad was the youth pastor at the church. The church they belonged to had 4 services in the morning and 2 services at night. Because Dina's parents were so involved, she heard the gospel 6 times every Sunday. And if that were not enough, she was saying, Monday night was music practice, Tuesday night was Junior Youth Connect, Wednesday night was Senior Connect groups. She was basically Monday through Saturday doing something in the house of God. And then she said, well, if that wasn't enough either, Mum used to arrange all the music for the weekend, so we were singing about Jesus in our home as well. This is what she says, I heard the gospel every day of my childhood life. Her parents believed the truth, she said, and that their behaviour modelled what they believed. But all the same, even though I knew the truth, I put a barrier up between myself and Jesus so he wouldn't get too close. I was a good person. I lived in a sanitized bubble. I even taught the Bible and sang in church, but I wasn't in him. Then one day it clicked that he gave up everything for me. After all those years of hearing, all those years of knowing, I finally put my trust in Jesus and what he did for me on the cross through shedding his blood for me. Rather than me being a churchgoer, rather than me being a Bible teacher, rather than me being a good person, rather than me being a song leader or a musician, rather than looking the part or simply turning up, I gave my life over into his hands. I became his possession. That was the moment of transformation. I now ask Jesus what he wants me to do because I desire to live in the truth. You can hear the truth, but it's accepting that truth. The message of your salvation, he gave up everything for me. That's the point you will be transformed. Andrea mentioned last week about postmodernism, briefly, that promotes the notion of pluralism. There are many ways to knowing. There are many truths to the fact. I think the Big Bang Theory is a very funny show. Does anyone agree with me? Yeah. Sheldon Cooper plays the role of the geek particularly well. He is the alpha male of the geek world. His theories and hypotheses are always the best. He tolerates everyone around him, including his girlfriend. He has no social skills, and he's always right. He'll always go out of his way to prove himself right, no matter how inappropriate his timing. He's just the way it is. And the truth is that most of us hate to be proven wrong. Am I the only one? We don't like to be proven wrong, do we? We'll fight for what we agree on or believe in. There's got to be a good reason. We'll try our best to prove ourselves right. It's one of the reasons we like the Big Bang Theory and laugh at Sheldon. You know, we obviously didn't come from a Big Bang. Or maybe you're not sure. You know, the Bible says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be seas amidst the land, and there was sea amidst the land. God said, let there be lights up in the heavens, and now we have these fantastic stars that we can enjoy, especially when we get out of the city. You see, God is in Christ, and Christ is in God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So in the beginning of all time and created existence, Christ was with God and the essence of God. God created everything through him. He is the eternal Word. Nothing was created without him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. His life brought light to everyone. In him we have our being. Say it with me. In him we have our being. He created us. He made us all uniquely individual, yet equally we are the same. Only the Creator could do that. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we don't have to prove anything to anybody. I don't have to be right all the time. It simply isn't important who's right and who's wrong to God. He made everything. I already belong. He's not concerned about the games we play with one another as much as he's concerned about what we are going to do with the life that he has given us. As God's chosen people, we don't have to prove anything. Living in the truth is not about what we know, it is who we know. It is how we live out our life, knowing the message of our salvation. The theologian Millard Erickson wrote this: the truth of Christianity is the gospel. And the definition of the word gospel is an announcement that something has happened. Paul viewed the gospel as centering upon Jesus Christ and what God has already done through him. The gospel is not merely a recital of theological truths and historical events. It relates these truths and events to the situation of every individual believer. I never thought it would be possible to own our own home, but Jesus did what I thought was impossible. Let's bring it into context today. There's people sitting here that because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his life, that you now have your own home. I never thought in a million years that Jesus could heal me, but he has. I never thought God cared that much that he would send that person into my life at the right time for his purpose. I was lost, but now I am found. See, all other religions start by saying this is how God wants you to live, and if you live this way, you will be saved. Christianity does not start by saying here is what you must do, but rather here is what he has done in history to save you. The gospel is not good advice. It is good news on what has been done. Everything written in the Bible is to help you have your best life. So I want to ask a question today. If Jesus is the resurrection and the life, then what else is there? I'm not sure you heard me. If Jesus is the resurrection and the life, then what else is there in life? Maybe one more time. If Jesus is the resurrection and the life, then what else is there? If Jesus has risen from the dead, then you have to deal with everything in the Bible on how to live. We must accept his word into our lives because of what Jesus has done. When you take a hold of the claims of what Jesus has done, you take a hold of what Christianity is, and you begin to live in his truth. Yeah, but I don't like that part of the Bible about giving to God. I don't like that part where it says we are to marry and keep ourselves pure before him. I don't see the harm in swearing and blaspheming. If I go to a party and have too much to drink and other stuff happens, that's a good night. Everyone steals a few things from work. What's the big deal? Why should I pay for the council approval? It's only my patio. Has Jesus risen from the dead? I said, has Jesus risen from the dead? And if your answer is yes, then why wouldn't you want to live in his resurrection life? Some of us forget that he died for the stuff we continue to do. Sin means a hell of a lot to Jesus. He went there for you. He bore it. He took it on. He shed his blood. And he broke its power over you. Sin is real. Hell is hot. Eternity is long. Yeah, let's tweet that. Let me say it one more time. Sin is real, hell is hot, eternity is long. The gospel is the transformative power of his spirit in your life. So to all the Christians here, why in hell's name would you still be doing hell stuff? Can I say that this morning with due respect? Why would we be living in sin when the Bible says to live in his life? Get the hell out of your life and allow his life to penetrate.
Yeah, come on.
Come on. He's alive. I know I've taken a long time to get here this morning, but he's alive in you. I wanted to set some of the truths of the gospel in your heart this morning from the word of God. Is he alive in you, or are you playing games with the devil because hell is coming? Okay. See, here's the reason, and Paul gives the example in Ephesians. You are his transformer. The signet from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. A praising and what? Glorious life. The resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit means one thing. God's kingdom breaking through heaven to earth through you. Phil Pringle says this. He's the president of C3 Church. The measure of a person is revealed by what their chief desires are. God did not give us his Holy Spirit to take us away from this earth, that we simply live life and end up in heaven because we've accepted Jesus into our heart. That's actually not the gospel. He gave us his Holy Spirit to make us his agents of transformation on this earth. That's slide 5. We are his transformers. We work for the ultimate transformer, Jesus. We can still do the work of Jesus on earth, even though Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, because we have the Holy Spirit, and we can even do greater works, the Bible says. So I think we need to be thinking really hard about who we have in our life. And if he's not 100% in our life, then do everything you can to repent and get back into right relationship with the one who's going to give you your best life. We're living the life that he has planned for us. We are doing his transforming work, defeating the powers of evil. We live out his mission in our world. We are singing his praises. Isn't it great coming into the house of God and singing his praises? You know, we can sing his praises every day of the week. Wow, you know, I talked to that person, and that person was just so grateful that I spent a moment just praying with them. We sing his praises every day of our life because he's in us. We are transformed by the Holy Spirit. So, just like the Transformers, let's go to the next slide. You see, through the Holy Spirit, we get our wheels on. We get our wheels on in Christ because we are transformed by the Holy Spirit. We become useful on this earth. We get traction in our world. The rubber hits the road because we have the Holy Spirit in our life. He transports us into his mission for our lives while we're here on earth. And when the risen Jesus, in Matthew 28:18, it says this, when the risen Jesus appears to his followers at the end of Matthew's gospel, he declares that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. In Revelation 11:15, the last book of the Bible, and when John the seer hears the thundering voices in heaven, they are singing, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever." The point of the Gospels and of Acts is that the kingdom of heaven reigns on earth through Jesus in us. And Paul is describing in Ephesians that having been given this Holy Spirit, you have something to praise him about. Who has something to praise him about today? When his wheels are in motion in your life, you will have something to praise him about. No matter what you're facing in this life, you know that as you look forward in him, you have hope for your future. We have been given the ultimate transformer. Jesus was sent to rescue humans as the ultimate transformer in order that human beings might be his transformers over creation. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The life of Christ was not splendid and exciting social work with an unhappy conclusion. It is not just a story of an atoning death with an extended introduction. It's the story of God's kingdom being launched on earth as in heaven. It is generating a new state of affairs in which the power of evil has been decisively defeated. The new creation has been decisively launched. Jesus' followers have been equipped to put that victory and the inaugurated new world into practice. We are not waiting for heaven, in other words. We are putting into practice what God has already given his people. We are the resurrection and the life. We have Jesus in us. We have his Holy Spirit who allows us to transform others in the name of Jesus Christ. And Paul repeats this over and over again. So I'm repeating it over and over again. It's what this particular verses are talking about. It's saying not just in Christ, we have something. He's left us a deposit of his Holy Spirit. Will you be in him? See, we have the power through the Holy Spirit in us to rescue others from the powers that enslave the world in order that they can be rescuers as well. We become an army of transformers. So when we're told in no uncertain terms that we don't need another church in Wellard, when I was told by a pastor 20 years ago that it was pointless to plant a church in Fremantle, my Bible tells me otherwise. My Bible tells me that we have the power through the Holy Spirit to be his transforming agents in this world. And the more churches there are, the greater opportunity there is for people to receive the good news. My Bible tells me that we become an army. We rise up together. The powers that enslave this world will be defeated, and we are looking forward to a victorious life together. You want to help inaugurate God's kingdom, you must follow in the way of the cross. If you want to benefit from the gospel, Jesus' saving death, you must become part of his kingdom project. Salvation is both for humans and through humans for the wider world. It's the solid basis for the mission of the church. Let me read to you Ephesians 1:13, second part of that verse again. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you his Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The transforming work of Christ, the ultimate transformer, transforms us into his transform, so we can be his transformers. The Decepticons are out there. But if we know the truth of the gospel, what Jesus has done, and we live in the freedom of that, then look out, hell. Come on. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? I want to ask you a couple of questions before we close this meeting. Are you helping this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed today? I'm going to pray for people this morning. If we're going to close our meeting in a moment, we're going to sing a song to finish the meeting. But if you need prayer for anything, we'd love to pray with you as this meeting closes today. But on point this morning, are you helping transform others by the life of the ultimate transformer in you? And if you can't honestly answer that question, why don't you turn around today and say, you know what, I believe in God, but I'm not following God. I'd love to pray with you today. We quench the spirit by allowing the things of earth to overshadow us. We dry up, we lose our passion and our fire. You can be going through the motions of Christianity like Dina. Do you need to make a change and say, thank you for what you've done for me? Thank you that you died on the cross for me. I receive your life. Forgive me of my sin. If that's you, I'd, at the end of this meeting, love to pray with you as well. We must live in the truth to be his transforming agents. The cost is too great. Why don't we sing this song together? At the end of this song, you allow God to transform you. You want to receive Christ as Lord of your life. Love to pray with you as we finish today.